Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Monstrous Agonies. Episode 101. Sure, the sentient shadows that dog his every step will have something to say about that. Next tonight, I'm answering listeners' questions in our weekly advice segment. First up, a younger listener dealing with some difficult behaviour at school.
So, you got a letter from my mum a few weeks ago? I know it was about me. I heard it. I was up one night while she was out and I listened to your broadcast. Usually do when she's at work. It makes me feel close to her. Even though you don't say names, I knew it was her asking about me. God, I feel like such an idiot now. She's got completely the wrong end of the stick. So, Lila, if you're hearing this, please just switch off the radio. I'm fine, it's nothing to do with my turning, and I am handling it, okay? Just turn it off. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and assume she's gone now, since that would be the responsible and respectful thing to do, Mum. Right. Sorry for the faff. It's just she'd make a fuss. And besides, I don't want to get in trouble at school for sicking my mum onto my bullies. Because that's it. Like I said, she's misunderstood the whole thing. I'm fine with being a lycanthrope. My turning was horrible, but I'm getting on with things. I'm in physical therapy, and I know mum's talking about getting me a counsellor, which, whatever. After I was turned, I was transferred to a creature school instead of the mixed genus school I was in before. It's actually nicer there, I like it. I've made friends, my grades are better, my boyfriend is really sweet. That's also where my problem began, because I caught myself a bully. I'll be minding my own business on my way to liminal history class. And I'll hear her talons clack, clack, clacked down the corridor, coming towards me, ready to make some dumb joke about my genus. Lately, it's been trying to get me to play fetch. Like nobody's ever made that joke to a lycanthrope before. Gods, I hate her stupid little beak. I have to hold myself back from ripping her to shreds. I don't even know why she bullies me. I just seem to be her favourite victim. The only thing I've managed to gather about the situation is that she used to have a crush on my boyfriend when she was a hatchling. And like, okay, he's still gay. He's still my boyfriend. I've tried talking to her. I've tried telling her to back off. I've threatened to get teachers involved if she doesn't stop. What else can I do? Because I swear, I'm just about ready to rip her to feathery pieces the next time she tries something. Unfortunately, listener, you're right in thinking that violence is not the answer here. It is sorely tempting, I know. But at your age, and in a school environment, I'm afraid it simply can't be done. You say you aren't sure why she's bullying you. I want to be very clear about this. It is not your job to worry about why. Self-esteem issues or a disruptive home life are explanations for why someone might bully others. They are not excuses. This girl has adults in her life responsible for taking care of her. It's their job to handle the underlying causes for this behaviour. You only need to concern yourself with the behaviour itself and how it impacts you. Firstly, you need to follow through on your threats to tell your teachers what's going on. This girl has continued to pick on you because she feels empowered to do so. She thinks she's got away with it. Show her she's wrong. Resist the temptation to downplay these incidents when you report them. Your teachers need to understand the severity of the situation, that you are being targeted repeatedly with genus-specific abuse. I'm sorry to say that I also think you ought to tell your mother what's happening. I hear your concern that her reaction might be disproportionate. And if you really don't want to tell her, you don't have to. But she might be able to offer you some much-needed support and allyship, both at home by supporting you emotionally and at school by acting as an advocate on your behalf. You've expressed yourself very well in your letter. I feel sure that if you do decide to tell your mother, you'll be able to make it clear to her what your expectations and boundaries are regarding her behaviour. Otherwise, and I know this is easier said than done, but please, try not to let this childish behaviour get to you. Concentrate on spending time with your friends and your boyfriend, and enjoying your classes. Let the adults responsible for looking after your bully do their job. And let the adults responsible for looking after you do theirs, including your mum. As an aside, if we keep getting letters from school-aged listeners, I am definitely going to have to look into establishing some sort of listen-again feature. This segment is on far too late for anyone to be listening live on a school night. Brought to you by Ethereality, spectral beverages for the discerning palate. Our Lords and Ladies blend brings the elegance of court life to your home. Or try our new Bainbury brew to settle yourself to sleep. Ethereality, brew yourself a cup. Proud members of the Nightfolk Network. Our next letter asks how to navigate some complicated self-expression. It's funny, isn't it?
how much emphasis we place on being yourself. It's like this little mantra we trot out for everything from first day at school to first dates. Don't worry, just be yourself. You've said it on this programme, live life by your own lights. Even Shakespeare got a look in, to thine own self be true. It's a nice idea, but it does rather assume you have a self to be true to. I don't experience the world like that. I don't have a unitary sense of self. I have several selves, all knocking knees together. First up, I'm somatically non-stable. I can take the form of pretty much any living creature, though invertebrates can be a little tricky. Unlike some shifter genuses, mine doesn't have a base form. There's no real self to go back to. I have certain preferences, but really, anything's game. I also don't experience the unitary self in my own mind. I, the person writing this letter, am part of a plural system. Put simply, that means that we experience ourselves as having several distinct identities, all sharing the same body or headspace. Our system specifically has dissociative identity disorder, but other people experience multiplicity for all sorts of reasons. They might be from a multiple identity genus, or experience multiplicity as part of their gender identity. Or they might be host to another's spirit, or channeling another's consciousness, or perhaps they just have a brain slug. Any number of things. In contrast to all that, DID is pretty mundane. So my question is about that spot in the middle, where we sit. Slap bang at the centre of the crossroads between the creature community and the DID community. You see, not all of my headmates, that is, the other people who share this body, are of the same genus. Being somatically non-stable, we can shift our body to match our identity. You can imagine how uncomfortable it can be to be stuck in a body that doesn't match who you are on the inside. Except, one of us was told recently that that's disrespectful, that it's not all right for us to change so we look like another genus, that it's offensive, like wearing their culture as a costume. It doesn't feel like a costume. No more than shifting into male form when a male identity is fronting, and into a female form when a female identity is fronting. It feels, well, it feels like we're being ourselves. Is it wrong for us to change our body in this way? What should we do about people who take offence at our identities having different genuses? How can we be true to ourselves and not step on anybody else's toes? Thank you for getting in touch, listeners. It's always good to remember that the creature community exists at several different crossroads with other identities, and to explore how we navigate those meeting points with dignity and respect to all involved. The issue here isn't your shifting per se. Rather, we need to consider the external power dynamics of genus and identity. After all, one's genus does not mean the same thing to all people. Some genuses have intense social and cultural ties, to the point where it is hard to imagine calling oneself a member without claiming that cultural heritage. For others, genus is simply a way of expressing something about one's body or one's abilities. Our earlier letter tonight mentioned lycanthropy, for example. It is perfectly acceptable for our young listener to refer to himself as a lycanthrope. That is the correct term for his particular kind of somatic variance. Underneath that umbrella, though, there are several lycanthropic communities to which he may or may not belong, depending on matters entirely beyond his physiology. Calling oneself a werewolf specifically invokes a cultural heritage that is quite distinct and different from identifying as Versipelli or Wulva, for example. The question of whether or not it's offensive for different members of your system to present as different genuses lies in whether those genuses have this strong cultural connection or not, and if they do, whether members of the same system can reasonably be said to have different cultural backgrounds. That, I'm afraid, is a far, far bigger question than I can answer in, 3 more minutes of airtime? I recommend exploring the topic yourself and with others in the plural community. I don't think you'll get a single, simple answer, but the conversation itself will be very worthwhile. At the end of the day, this is a decision you will have to make for yourselves. However, it is worth repeating that, as you say, you aren't donning a costume when you shift. You're expressing a genuine and distinct identity and shaping your body to present more authentically to the world. And I must confess, I find it very difficult to see my way to finding offence in that. The Night Folk Network, the voice of liminal Britain. That's all for our advice segment. Now, we've all heard of Blackbeard and Anne Bonny, but what about their liminal counterparts? We explore the magic, mystery, and many, many tentacles surrounding creatures who sailed the seven seas during the golden age of piracy.
Please accused. And I hate the noise.
Episode 101 of Monstrous Agonies was written and performed by H.R. Owen. Tonight's first letter was submitted by Tiny Tony Maloney. The second letter was from The Menagerie, and this week's advert was based on a suggestion by Bren. Thanks, friends. Hello and welcome to our latest supporters on Patreon, Scaredy Crow and Sneak Pippi. Join them at patreon.com/monstrousagonies or make a one-off donation at ko-fi.com/HR Owen. You can also help us grow our audience by sharing with your friends and familiars and following us on Tumblr at monstrousagonies and on Twitter at monstrous_pod. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. The theme tune is Dakota by Unheard Music Concepts. Thanks for listening, and remember, the real monsters are the friends we made on the way.